Hello, this is Father Todd Peterson. Because I didn't preach this weekend with Deacon Ralph Poyle here for an Area Faith Community Mission, which begins on the evening of Epiphany through Wednesday, January 10th, I am recording a separate podcast. The Feast of Epiphany is sometimes overlooked, and it's great importance, but it's one of the earliest feasts that we had, and it celebrates really three realities: the visitation of the three wise men, traditionally three wise men, the Magi, who came from the east, the celebration of Christ's birth, and the anniversary of his first miracle, the miracle at Cana, where he turned water into wine. All of these are manifestations to the nations, manifestations of how he made God known to us because he had taken on flesh. But now in the Roman Catholic Church, we've reduced and celebrate only the coming of the wise men. Tomorrow, actually Monday, January 8th, we will celebrate the baptism of the Lord, and we don't typically celebrate with a particular day the wedding feast at Cana. Epiphany itself reminds us, as Deacon Ralph reminded us this morning, that the wise men were watching. They were waiting for something. They were non-Jewish people. They were Gentiles, and yet they must have been men of education and men of means, because they were able to see in the stars something that no one else saw. Sometimes we think the star was a great, magnificent star that everyone saw, but really, in reality, it was probably more a subtle sign that they saw, that they understood that something important happened, that a king was born in Judah. A king was born because he appeared most likely in the constellation of Leo, and some have suggested the Christmas star was the conjunction of Venus and Jupiter, the planets, in the constellation Leo, which meant the god king, Jupiter, with the goddess of love, Venus, coming together in Judah, creating a new life. Whether that's it or not, certainly is telling, but the tracing of the star itself. But what really is important is the wise men came. They gave their time to follow the star, and at the same time, they didn't fully understand where it was leading. They didn't understand how long it was going to take. And they would where naturally to stop, but in the palace of the king. And so where is the newborn king? And Herod is greatly upset, greatly disturbed. So he ascertains from his wise men where the child is to be born, and they tell him Bethlehem. And so thinking he can trick the wise men anyway, he sends them off to Bethlehem and come back when you find him. And we know the story then with the holy innocents, how Herod put them to death because he realized the wise men were not going to return. But the wise men came, and they understood there was something about this baby, and more than just a king, but he was God made man. And we see that even in the gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, of course, we know is a metal, a valuable metal that does not easily tarnish. It's a sign of divinity and royalty and longevity because it does not tarnish. Frankincense is a sign of divinity. It was used in worship rites as a way of perfuming the air and symbolizing the rising of our prayers to God. Frankincense was also used as a deodorant in places where the main transportation was animal. You had to have something to cover up the dung smell that kind of hung in the air at certain times. And so frankincense would have done that. Think about a child being born in a stable, how frankincense might have been used right there. Myrrh is sometimes the odd thing that everyone says, why would they bring myrrh? But myrrh was very useful in the time of Jesus. Myrrh was a perfume, and it has a kind of a otherworldly smell to it, a pungent smell that has a heaviness about it. It was used during funeral rites, that the body was anointed with high levels of myrrh mixed with oil, and that covered the smell. But it was also used in bathing rites as like a perfume. So they would lather themselves in myrrh perfume or myrrh oil after a bath. But myrrh was also used in fine dinners, that it was put in wine, and as such, it would give a little tingling such sensation. But it was also used in large amounts as a narcotic. So Jesus was offered myrrh at his death. And because of that mixed thing, myrrh seems to be the gift, like I said, most forgotten, but most important, because it reminds us that this child is royalty. This child is divinity. But this child is going to suffer and die. And this child gives us life, gives us hope. So on this Feast of Epiphany, we remember all of that. Of course, as Fulton Sheen said, the wise men did not return home by the same way. They understood that, as Fulton Sheen again would say, that no one ever encounters the Lord and goes home the same. So as we celebrate this Feast of Epiphany, may the Lord be with us to help us understand the great gifts that he has given us, the manifestation that he has given us, to that when we look at Jesus Christ, when we follow him like the wise men, we ought to bring our very, very best to know that it is a great gift.